because it gives great instruction. I wish I was 18 and reading Proverbs again. I came across one there. Would you pass up my binoculars there, please? Thank you. See, if I was 18, I wouldn't need the binoculars. But this one here that really struck me the other night, it comes from Proverbs 20. The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? In the present. And this is another one that I love. Fathers can give their sons an inheritance of houses and wealth, but only the Lord can give an understanding wife. You know, there's great wisdom in all of these Proverbs. So I'd encourage you young people to get into the book of Proverbs and start reading them. They're lovely. Anyway, that's not what I'm going to share about this morning. I'll leave that there. But I was really blessed with the worship this morning, because as I was preparing my talk, I had just finished my outline of it, and I get a text message from Dorothy giving me the list of songs that she had for this Sunday. And the first song on it was, which we sang this one, was called The Joy. And my title of my talk this morning is The Joy of Asking. So I just confirmed what I was talking about. So, and I'd like to thank Carter Conlon, David Jeremiah, Derek Prince, and other people along the way who had an input into this. I take gems from their talk that I listen to, and I use them in my talk here this morning. Not all from the same people, so different people input into the talk. So now, I'll open those who want to follow in Scripture. I'm sharing from John 16, verse 24. And that says, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Interesting. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, who by this point had walked with him for quite some time. Without a doubt, they had asked a lot of questions along the way, just as you and I do in our Christian walk. Yet suddenly, he made this statement, and then he added, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. In other words, what he was saying, there is a joy that you have not yet entered into. You have a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience, and you have witnessed things that other people have never seen. But you have not really been a partaker of something I want to give you now. If you open your heart to it, it will bring you into a place of joy. Isn't that amazing? The asking brings joy. Not just a partial joy, but a full joy. Certainly, we ought to discover what Jesus meant by asking in his name. But first, let's look in the book of John and see some of the things that his disciples had already asked for. It is likely that you and I have similar questions along with our journey with him. And the first one is in John 1, verse 38. Peter's brother Andrew and some others started following Jesus. And Jesus turned around and asked what they were seeking. They asked him, where are you staying? We are willing to come to your house and hear what you have to say to us. They wanted to form a small house group. They felt they found a teacher worth following. That is where it all began with most of us, in house groups. And that is where I, as a believer in Christ, I remember going to my very first full gospel businessman dinner in the Bridge Hotel in Waterford here, and saying to myself, to listen to the testimonies I've been given and the encouragement that I had seen. I had just come out of the hospital myself shortly before that, and I said to God, if you're real, show yourself to me. I wouldn't mind knowing who you are. And as the disciples journeyed on with Jesus, they began to realize that he's the source of nourishment, they did not understand yet. His disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. Therefore, disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat and slipped it behind my back? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields. They are already white for the harvest. See this in John 4, 31, 35. And if they're ripe for the harvest then, they're more than overripe for the harvest now. Jesus explained there was a nourishment available for them, but the implication was that they had to go into the harvest to get it. You can get knowledge by sitting in the church, which is wonderful, but this nourishment, this availability that is God-given, the strength that comes only from the Holy Spirit, does not come until you start to walk into the work of God. The disciples later discovered that Jesus' word had limited power to heal. A nobleman came and said, my son is at home and he's at a pint of death. Will you come and heal him? In John 4, 49. Jesus did not go into the man's house or even to the man's town. He simply said to the man, go your way, your son lives. See this in John 4, 50. There is no limitation by distance. He spoke and it was done. Can you imagine the questions that the disciples must have had in their hearts? What kind of a man is this? It's probably like the time they were in the boat during the storm and Jesus stood up to rebuke the winds and the sea. They then asked one another, what kind of a man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? We see this in Matthew 8, 27. In John 6, verse 53, Jesus declared, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. In other words, he was saying, there is something of me that you need in order to truly have life. Most of his disciples at that time turned and walked away, concluding, this is too hard. In the same way today, in the Christian church, people walk with Jesus, assuming that Christian life is simply supposed to make them healthy, wealthy, and wise. And then when the trials come, they conclude, this is not what I've signed up for, it's too hard. Jesus turned to his 12 disciples and asked if they were going to leave as well. And Peter responded with the question, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. John 6, 68. In other words, we are staying because we know you have words of eternal, not because we understand it, not because we feel we can do it. We do not know where else to go. There comes a point in every Christian's life when we make the choice to keep walking with Jesus, not because we understand everything, because we know that he is the source of life and that he is leading us on a pathway of eternal value. Later, Jesus tells his disciples, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you can follow me afterwards. John 13, verse 36. Peter then asked Jesus, Lord, why can I not follow you now? And Thomas asked, you tell us to follow you, but we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? Similar, you and I have times when we ask, God, what is it that you want from my life? How am I supposed to know the way? I have walked with you. I have studied your word. I have seen your power. Now you're calling me to follow you, and I don't even know where you're going. How am I supposed to do that? In John 14, verse 22, Judas, not Judas Iscariot who betrayed him, had another question. How is it that you manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And so we come to the most pivotal question of all. Why are you showing us shown all of this only to us. We could ask that today as well. God, why are you speaking all these things to us? Why are you sending us your word when you have the power to send it to the whole world? This is where it gets interesting, because Jesus essentially answers, I am going to show myself to the world through you. That is the plan of God, and there is no plan B. You might ask, and well, how is the world, is that going to happen? I spend my day just trying to survive. I work two jobs to feed my kids, to keep the bills paid, and you're going to show yourself to the world through me. How is that going to happen? Jesus tried to explain to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. John 16, verses 12 to 15. Here is the point that Jesus was making. You cannot bear it because I'm going to the cross. I'm going to take all captivity captive. I'm going to pay the price for your sins so that you no longer have to be separated from God. I'm going to purchase for you now a new life, something that will make you a wonder to the people of this world. The Holy Spirit is going to dwell in you and show you the thing that I have bought for you on the cross. Can you believe that? That's what Jesus said, not what Pastor said, it's what Jesus said. You got to believe it. Jesus goes on to introduce a different kind of asking. A little while, you will not see me. And again, a little while, you will see me, because I go to the Father. Therefore, now you have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that, you will ask me nothing. John 16, verses 16, 22 and 23. He's talking to his disciples about the day when he is raised from the dead, when the debt has been paid, when the power of the Holy Spirit has come, when this new life that is promised us in Christ becomes ours. In other words, you will not need to ask these former questions anymore. They will be answered. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. John 16, 23. Now, the question is, do you believe that? And if you truly believe it, you will pray first thing in the morning. You will pray at noontime. You will pray at night. Of course, I'm not talking about asking for a Porsche. And I don't want Herod to get a Porsche, because I'd never get out of it if he got one. So, and Herod doesn't want one either. But he would like a new car. We pray for a new car. He is, of course, speaking in the context of his manifesting himself to the world through us. He is talking about asking for the power to be yielded for the sake of the lost, given for the sake of other people. He is speaking about asking for the power to serve, the power to love when others do not love us. Whenever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, this is available to people like you and me who say, God, I want the power to live my life for the sake of other people. I recognize the limitations of my physical body, of my natural mind, of my natural heart. I recognize I do not have the strength to go where you're calling me, but in the strength of your victory, you're going to make me into another person. You're going to bring glory to your own name through me. I'm asking that you cause my life to make a difference for your kingdom's sake. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. John 16, 24. And so we begin to understand that to experience this fullness of joy. There must be a shifting of focus. The joy must not be about ourselves anymore, but rather about others. The joy is that I see people coming to Christ. The joy is that even enemies are finding forgiveness from God. It's not just about getting happy. It is the joy that is in heaven over every sinner who comes to Christ. It is that joy that the angels know around the throne of God. However, it does not come until we surrender. As society is perishing around it, it's becoming more apparent that it is time to ask. It is time that we rise up out of our infancy and as mature sons and daughters and say, Lord, I understand now that I cannot follow where you're going in my own strength. I am asking for your Holy Spirit. Remember that before Pentecost, the disciples all knew they had no power to go forward. But when God's Holy Spirit came, they busted out of that upper room and started speaking about the things that God was going to do. And in the first day alone, 3,000 bent their knee to Christ. And so my prayer of my own heart, as well as that for the body of Christ, is that God will give us the courage to ask in Jesus' name. Start by asking for a life that is yielded to this for the sake of others. Don't forget that the Lord is delighted to give us all we need to make a difference in this generation. When you discover that your heart is changing and gifting are starting to abound in your life, when you find yourself speaking things you never thought you would say and doing things you know you're not capable of doing on your own, suddenly you will enter a joy that words can't even begin to describe. It is indescribable joy of being given for the sake of others. Amen. I rushed it this morning because we have a baptism, and I know you can smell the burgers being cooked and all that, and you're being distracted by that. So we're going to have the baptism first. Don't forget your tithes and offerings as well. I think David and whoever, who's both be doing the card machines? David? You on your own this morning? Yeah.